Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
Most leaders think credibility is about how others see you. But what if credibility actually starts with how clearly you see yourself? Today's guest is someone who is redefining what it means to lead with integrity, clarity, and purpose. Wow. By the time you finish this conversation, you'll understand credibility in a way you've never heard before. And you'll walk away with framework that you can use immediately to lead better, think better, and elevate the people around you. Today on the show, I'm joined by global credibility expert, Michelle Levy. Michelle, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Michelle, you're a two-time TEDx speaker, international best-selling author of over 60 books, and a certified stakeholder-centered coach working alongside Marshall Goldsmith's legendary 100 coaches. And you've done so many amazing things. And, you know, what's cool is I get to have a conversation with you. So welcome to the show. I'm so excited.
It is great to be here. Yeah, of course. Thank you.
Now, you've also... I'm so lost. You've also started 20 companies in Silicon Valley. You know, you created 4 publishing firms that produced over 750 books, ranking among top 200 leadership voices in the world. So, you know, my first question would be, you spent years defining credibility for leaders around you, around the world. For someone listening right now who thinks they already get it, what are they missing? Because clearly there's a lot more to it.
You know, that the definition that's in the dictionary, when I first started looking at credibility, which was in 2019, was the quality in which one is trusted. And many people still think that way, that credibility and trust are the same. And so if somebody's your boss, you need to trust them. And if you trust them, then they're credible. I interviewed 500 thought leaders on credibility and came up with an updated definition. And I'm going to, if you don't mind, I'm just going to share that.
Absolutely.
Credibility is the quality in which one is trusted, known, and liked. And what's interesting about that is there are 10 values there. But in terms of being trusted, you could see the 4, you know, and what's interesting, you go through each of those. So, for instance, I'm an executive coach, and sometimes I'm called in by the board to coach a CEO. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I do when I'm called in is I'll have a conversation to see if they're coachable. Because, and if you take a look at being trusted, that's part of it. If they're not coachable, I can't take them on, right? Yeah. And so what's fascinating is you hear the word authenticity, and that's important, but you could authentically be a bad person, right? So authenticity by itself, you need another element. So yeah. If you look under being known, servant leadership. So if you're authentically a servant leader, and you have the intent and commitment to do the right thing, now you're somebody who is truly credible. And then there's an interesting, I'll come back to the fact that there's only one value that's listed twice. It's the value called integrity. So I'll come back to that. But under being likable, it's kind of interesting. It's pretty straightforward. And you're doing one of the two things today. Right. And that is you're sharing your stage. I call it spreading cred dust. So thank you. I appreciate that. So sharing your stage is one way to be likable. Another one is just showing respect.
Yeah.
And if you look at your logs on Zoom, you know, I came 10 minutes early. So showing respect is coming early, coming prepared, coming with your heart. I mentioned something about integrity. Do you mind if I share that?
Yeah. So you mentioned. How do I bring this back? You mentioned that integrity is listed twice in your three circles of being trusted, known, and liked. Now, for those listening in, we've got a video screen where Michelle is showing a map. We'll make sure to have this map or this diagram in the show notes and attached on the website as well. But if you're looking at watching, if you want to look at this, what we're showing, go to the YouTube video to see the full shot, what Mitchell is talking about. So go ahead, Mitchell.
So I'll stop sharing the screen so you can see me. One of the highlights that I got, one of the interesting things that I got is with the word integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And so ever meet somebody and something happens in the conversation and you're feeling uncomfortable and the hair on the back of your neck stands up, mm-hmm. and you're like, yeah, there's something wrong here. Sometimes you can't put your handle on it. You can't put your hand on it. You've had that happen to you, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I want to give that definition. In this particular case, what it means, how that happens is the external integrity, what they're saying they are and who they are,
mm-hmm.
that's associated with being trusted. They're saying all the right things. But then as you get to know them, who they are internally, their actions, how they feel, what they do, that's different. And when there's incongruity between the external and internal integrity, that's a problem. Now let's take a look at companies who say one thing but do something else.
Ooh.
You know, if you're an employee of a company who says you're doing one thing but doing something else, you're not going to feel that company is credible. You're not going to feel like you're enjoying your job. It will lead towards you being unproductive and unengaged because you no longer stand for what the company stands for.
Yeah. Because you came into the company thinking their specific way, all of the things matched when you joined. But then over time, they lost integrity or something happened, right? And I've been in companies like this in the past where you join, it's a nice knit, tight team. And then over time, there's a huge growth happening in the company. I'm like, what's going on? Oh, we're bringing all these sales teams in here and then we're going public. And now the stock is diluted. Oh my God, we got to let go 110 people. They lost their integrity.
Right.
I love it. I love it. So you've said that credibility starts with clarity. Where do most leaders lose clarity without even realizing it?
Well, I'm going to say, and this is crazy, when I was doing the interviews, so I interviewed 500 thought leaders on credibility, and I could tell you that 98% of people that I've seen and interacted with in the business world do not have clarity. Now, they may say they have clarity, and then I say to them, okay, listen, in less than 10 words, who are you and what is the audience you serve? And so clarity is, it turned out when I was doing the interviews, it turned out that I actually have a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize I had it, but I fine-tuned it during the interviews. That's 500. Yeah. And to date, I've now helped over 1,400 companies and individuals articulate in less than 10 words where they're executing on their purpose. And so the problem is, if you're a very credible person, let's say you do act with, you know, a number of the characteristics of credibility.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no idea where you're going, i.e. you don't have a compass. People will look at you and think, yeah, you're not really as credible as you say you are, mm-hmm. because you're all over the place.
Yeah.
And so the clarity to know who you serve and what is the pain point or pleasure point of the audience you serve, who they are, will give you a compass that will allow you to then apply that credibility in such a way that people really are feeling good about who you are and how you show up.
Yeah. I think that's really powerful, especially because I experienced a little bit of being lost. I'm going to this office, and they're like, yeah, it's actually downstairs, and that's also suite 100, and I have a suite 100 too. And I felt lost, but luckily there was somebody there to guide me, and we're always looking for, hey, who's the guy that's going to get me to that next level? That's why maps and GPS is so important, because it kind of gives you direction on where to go. Now, you've had an incredible journey, Mitchell. 20 companies, 60 books, and 2 TEDx talks. But was there a single aha moment when it all clicked and you realized credibility needed to be redefined? And I think you mentioned about the 500 conversation you had.
By the way, until you got to the last statement, you had like 2 or 3 different questions, but then you fine-tuned it. So what happens, I was way back when I worked for Sun Microsystems. I had worked there for 9 years. My last job was running the e-commerce component of Sun Supply Chain, which was $3.5 billion. I left Sun in 1997. And since then, I've created 20-ish companies, and I would call myself a parallel entrepreneur. So I have multiple companies at the same time, because at any one point in time, something you do can just no longer be a good fit for the marketplace. And I've had that happen a number of times. The dot bomb killed one of my businesses. COVID killed another one of my businesses, right? It just happens. So in 2019, I had been running a book publishing firm since 2005, nice 6-figure business. And I'm feeling like at that stage, that the run of being a independent book publisher is going to start going away. Amazon has done a really good job of if you are have an inkling of publishing a book, you could self-publish with Amazon, and it no longer has a negative connotation associated with it. So I started thinking to myself at in the 2019 timeframe, I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do something else, what's next? And having published over 750 books with over 400 authors, I'm like, well, what is it that they were looking for? And the answer was, they're looking for credibility. And that's when I made the decision to look at the dictionary. So I went to the Oxford Dictionary. What's the definition of credibility? That's not right. Went to other dictionaries. That's not right. Okay. And then the next day I woke up, I'm like, huh, Napoleon Hill interviewed 500 millionaires to come up with Think and Grow Rich. Mitchell Levy is going to interview 500 thought leaders on what is credibility. And that opened up the next 5.5 years for me. It was a year of doing the interviews while still running the publishing company. COVID came, just completely hit my publishing business with a truck, and then Amazon ran it over 2 or 3 times. And then I ended up spending 3.5 years deploying credibility. Nice business there. And then I spent a year focused primarily on the Clarity piece. So I created a Clarity certification program. And it was a year ago, to get to your question, that I had another friend help me have another huge aha moment. Can I tell you what that was?
Of course. We would love it. We'd love that.
All right. It was a guy by the name of Ken Cook. About a year ago, Ken gets on the call with me. He goes, Mitchell, I know every living marketing legend alive today, and there's nobody that has clarity the way you do. Okay, my ego, like my head started getting really big. He goes, remind me how many people don't have it. I go, 98%. He goes, Mitchell, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to like. So I couldn't imagine what that would be. But what I want you to imagine is a balloon, and then taking a pin and sticking it in the balloon, and how quickly the balloon pops and becomes nothing. His 2 to 3 sentences that followed did exactly that for me. So here's what he said. He goes, Mitchell, from a marketing perspective, you are world-class at something that 98% of your audience doesn't have. They don't have it because they think they have it and they don't, or they don't think they need it. Either way, that number sucks. So he saw me I know. And I'm like, oh, God. He was right. I mean, he was absolutely right. 5.5 years of my life focusing on something. But I'll tell you, I learned two lessons. One was immediate. And the next lesson was the next morning when I woke up. So the immediate lesson, he goes, Mitchell, look me in the eyes. What could you do for me right now that'll put money in my pocket tomorrow? And the first phrase that came out of my mouth was executive presence. And I have subsequently turned that into what I call executive abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Currently writing my 66th book. The release date is May 7th of 2026. Nice. I'm also getting a dissertation so I can get academic prowess around this concept called executive abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my next aha moment came the following morning. In the morning, I woke up and you're going to know this phrase already, but I knew this phrase my entire life, but didn't start really executing on it until a year ago. Very simple. Are you ready?
What is it?
Sell them what they want, deliver what they need.
Sell them what they want, deliver what they need.
We hear that all the time.
Yeah.
But what that helped me understand is that clarity and credibility are what people need, not what they want.
So what do they want?
So the two ways, the two go-to-markets that I currently have. So for my executive coaching, I'll give you what I call a CPOP, my customer point of possibilities. It's in less than 10 words. This one happens to be 9.
Yeah.
Inc. 5,000 CEOs leading the future with executive abundance. So essentially what I do when I'm talking to and working with CEOs of fast-growing companies is I give them a more holistic view of the world, not just how to make more money. And so that's what we work on together. Nice. So that's one of my businesses. So that's what they want. If you're running a fast-growing company, you want to bring abundance, not just to your investors, but you want to bring abundance to yourself and your family, to your employees, to your customers, to the community at large. And that's what's involved.
I
also, by the way, I ended up a year ago buying a LinkedIn agency. And my CPOP associated with that, and CPOP's customer point of possibility is the who and the what. So for me, it's business owners tired of slimy LinkedIn sales tactics.
we've all seen those in our inbox.
We've all seen those, experienced those. And then if you're in a world where you're selling to other businesses, you can't not use LinkedIn. Many people don't. So if you're using LinkedIn, it is so easy to fall in the trap of listening to somebody else and doing some slimy LinkedIn sales tactics. So what I'm really doing is I'm helping people understand how to do one-to-one relationship building using LinkedIn. And so what do people want? They want abundance. If you're a CEO, or if you're running a business, you want to use LinkedIn without being slimy.
Yeah.
So that's what they want. What do they get? They both get clarity and credibility.
I love it, Mitchell. This is so powerful. So powerful because it almost reminds me of, if you ask people what they wanted, Henry Ford says, right? If you all ask people what they wanted fast horses.
I want a horse that flies.
Yeah, a horse that flies, right? They would never think of something outside of what's already in their view. And that's where visionaries comes in and, you know, create something that's impossible to be a reality. Now, in your book, you've identified the 10 elements of credibility. If you were to zoom way out, what's one element that people underestimate the most?
That's the 10 values that I show before in that chart. And
lost your audios.
There's really two. So I already spent a little bit of time focusing on integrity and making sure that your internal integrity is aligned with who you are. So the 10 values that I shared with you before, Those are, you know, the quality in which you're trusted, known, and liked. And I already had a chance to talk about integrity. And so the focus on that is simply, if you think about say what you do and then do what you say. And so the say what you do is your external, the do what you say is your actions that come behind it and who you really are, right? Mm-hmm. And we often forget the importance of that follow through, of that, of making that happen. Now, I'd say probably the thing that is probably what most people forget is in the, you know, the quality in which people actually like you, is a very simple concept of showing respect, right? And in the interviews, I defined respect, if you're doing a call like this, is coming early. Now, if it's an interview, I'm going to come 10 minutes early. Mm-hmm. You know, if it's a meeting, I try my best to come at least 1 to 3 or 1 to 4 minutes early.
Yeah.
Right. But what happens if you're running a group of people, and this was before I was doing the credibility research.
Sure.
You know, the meeting would start whenever I got there, and I'd always be late to every meeting because I had such a level of self-importance that the meeting starts around me. That's not showing respect to whoever it is you're interacting with.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. So come early. The second thing is come prepared, right? If you have a meeting and you're interacting with somebody and they've given you something to read ahead of time or something to prepare ahead of time, or even if they don't, in today's world, a simple question to GPT, hey, look at this site. Tell me what's going on in their life. Yeah. How do they and I interact? What should we do together? It'll come back with a really simple response. So you have to be prepared. Coming early, coming prepared, and then coming with your heart. It was shocking to me how many people, when I'd ask a question, wouldn't give you the real answer. They'd give you the answer that they think they should give you, and you could feel that in their heart of hearts, that's not who they are. And so I think we, most of the 10 values, not just showing respect, but demonstrating and living with respect. And by the way, all I'm saying right now is exactly what probably your mom and your grandma told you should be anyhow.
Amen. Amen. You're so right. Having respect, having that time, having the concept of bringing your heart forward is so important. And the one phrase that stuck in my head based on what you just mentioned, this was Thumper's mom in the Bambi movie. If it's not something nice that you have to say, don't say anything at all. Right?
Love that. Yep.
Boom.
Yep. Love that.
So, Mitchell, a lot of people think credibility is about what you say. Like you mentioned, you know, think about say what you say, but your work suggests it's more about who you are. And based on what you mentioned about, you know, respecting, what does that distinction look like in real life?
You know, I just think if you look at your calendar, I'll give you an example of how I practice. And I'm not, I could tell you with 100% certainty, I was not this person prior to doing the interviews, which really was a good slap in the face lesson for me. Okay. So every meeting I have, I prep ahead of time, and I do 25 to 30 meetings a week. So my team and I will look at each person, we'll look at their profiles, we'll get ideas of what we should talk about. And then, of course, I come in going, what do you want to talk about, right? Mm-hmm. But I am prepared for every meeting. I come early for every meeting. When I do a podcast, and I'm doing 7 this week, when I do a podcast, my team knows to book not just the hour for the podcast itself, but a half hour ahead of time, just so I can get in the right mental state.
Yeah.
And a half hour afterwards, in case stuff happens, like people knock on the door and you have to slow the, you know, conversation down. It really is okay. And so what's interesting, it's not about volume and sort of pushing a ton of people through. It's about quality. And so, and by the way, if you give people that quality, if you show them the respect by coming early, coming prepared, coming with your heart, you're going to feel that much better. The reception they give you will be that much higher. And the credibility that they put at your door will be that much better.
You're so right. You're setting the tone of the meetings by doing all of those things, right? And all of that stuff is, again, you could feel it because we are energetic beings, right? So we exude an energy, and the person sitting on the other side of the world can feel it just because of this eye contact, just because of the audio and the sound they can hear that you're making. I love it. Now, Mitchell, most of my listeners are entrepreneurs and creators. What are the fastest ways to unintentionally destroy credibility?
Probably the most obvious that people don't think about is your asynchronous presence. So before somebody interacts with you, let's say they're looking for somebody, hey, I need help with how do I look in my online presence, right? And they looked at your, I'll give you an example from yesterday, by the way. I'll come back to that. They look at your web presence, or they look at your website, or they look at your LinkedIn profile and it doesn't match. Let me give you an example from yesterday. There was a person, I'm not going to say male or female,
of course,
that was on my calendar yesterday. Someone who helps small businesses, and I'm doing the double quotes, small businesses with social media stuff. And so I looked at their LinkedIn profile and it says, click on my website. On the LinkedIn profile, it goes to a page that doesn't work. I then hand put their page in and it worked, and there were errors on the page. And then she doesn't show up for the appointment and doesn't say, like, life happens. Right? Life happens all the time. For somebody who has as many meetings as me, getting an extra half hour is a blessing, not a curse. And so but if somebody shows me the disrespect of not showing up and not even letting me know, because I did reach out, left a text message, left an email, left a message on LinkedIn and didn't hear back. So this person will, there's an option in LinkedIn. It's a great option that says, block this person for the rest of your life. And so they just disappear out of my radar. They don't exist for me anymore. I mean, that is a really extreme example. But her asynchronous presence was a predictor of who she was in a synchronous way.
Yeah.
And so she kind of slapped me in the face, and I had never met her before. So why do I care about maintaining a relationship? That's a phenomenal way to really do a bad job of hurting credibility.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And I've had those experiences, and a lot of people listening here probably had experiences similar to it. As long as you make the effort to say, hey, this happened. You're in the clear because life happens. We all know this. It just doesn't happen to you, right? We all think it does. It just happened to me. But no, it happens to everybody, and we have those experiences. Thank you for sharing that example. So now let's move into the other side. What's one credibility habit that someone can implement today that will be obvious to everyone around them by tomorrow? And you've already given us a few earlier on in the episode, but
I'd say the number one thing you could do is get absolute clarity on who you are. If 98% of everyone I speak with, if 98% of the business world does not have clarity, if you could be in the 2%, it's going to change everything.
Yeah. Man, I love that, Mitchell. Mitchell, you describe yourself as a sounding board and a mirror. What makes a powerful mirror for a leader who already seems successful on paper?
So That's a great question. It starts with first listening and understanding. And then what happens when I'm interacting with somebody, I have to listen, understand, and echo back what I heard. Right? Just to make sure that we're both on it. This is who you say you are. This is what's going on. Am I hearing you correctly? Right? That really comes first. Now, the next thing that comes into play is I always start with clarity. Right? Who is it that you serve, and what is the pain point or pleasure point of those that you serve? And then I go, okay, given that you do that, how in alignment are your actions? How in alignment is your calendar? If I did a 360 with those people around you, what would they say? And so the interesting part is we as humans, oftentimes there's one skill set that we're all pretty horrible at. It's called accountability.
Oh my God. It's the hardest
one. And what happens is our ego allows us to change the nature of the world we live in so that we can pretend we're accountable humans. And so what's interesting is when I'm actually interacting with a client and they tell me who they are and where they're going and what they're doing, I can mirror back that, and then I can echo what I see. Because what has to happen is there needs to be a trust that the person I'm interacting with actually trusts that my role, my thought, my ideas are to help them, not to better me. Mm-hmm. And if I'm there to be of service, and I am absolutely a servant leader, if I am there to be of service to others, and they trust me, then when I echo back the true ramifications of their actions, they're like, wait, that's not really what it's like. That's not really what I meant to say. That's not really what's going on. And I go, really? And so what often happens is we see the world in a certain light. And somewhere along that area, what I'm particularly good at is creating frameworks. Mm-hmm. So what will happen is I will share a framework, because I can't change anybody. Any coach around the world, we can't change the person we're interacting with. But here's what we can do. We can give them a framework in which they can view the world in a different way and change themselves. And so it's a great question. Thank you for asking it. But that's really what it means. And those are the steps I take to actually get to the point of transformation with somebody. It's the first thing they have to recognize that who they are in their head is not who they really think they are. And if their goal is to go somewhere else, to make sure we give them a framework so they can then take what they're doing and go towards that proper goal.
Mitchell, thank you so much. I'll have to go back and listen to it again, right? Because I love the detail that you provided in there. And I was like, hey, how can I apply this? And the part that you mentioned about you love building frameworks. And in the beginning of the episode, you showed us your three. Do you have a name for the graphic you showed us?
No, that's just that's the definition of credibility. So that's
the definition of credibility. The 10 elements of credibility, essentially, right?
Yes.
When we're as human beings, we're visual learners, right? Anytime you show us a picture, it's already telling us 1,000 words. So I love that you're building frameworks, because that enables the people to see, hey, this is a framework that's going to help you move along and implement the things the right way, and they can then see themselves inside of it, right? So I love that you do that. Now, there's something very specific that you do with your leaders. It's called the ecosystem thinking. So talk to me about the ecosystem thinking and how it helps leaders build influence without chasing it, because you know it more than I do. We love chasing that credibility and influence.
So this is really the core essence. So I've been named the number one ecosystems thought leader on the planet, whatever that means. But that's from an organization called Thinkers 360.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I've done is been able to take that and take everything I've learned in my life till date. And that is what I'm calling executive abundance. Because there are multiple ecosystems involved with how can somebody affect, whether it's the CEO running a big company,
yeah,
or a individual human running their own lives. What are the ecosystems that you play in? Who you are and how you show up in each ecosystem is different. It doesn't mean you're not the same person. The most important thing we could do to be credible is be the same human. Yeah. Whether we're with friends, whether we're with family, whether we're with coworkers, whether we're with clients, right? Being the same person is the most important. And what, as I mentioned, the concept of executive abundance is powerful. I will have a dissertation done sometime early in Q1 of 2026. And on May 7th, I'm releasing the book and the other elements. So I'm releasing the book. I'm releasing a couple chatbots and coursework on how to actually live, breathe, think, plan in this concept of bringing abundance to more than just stake, just shareholders, just the, I mean, it's important to make sure your investors are happy.
Yeah.
And it becomes a lot more sustainable if you have employees that are happy and are optimized for who they are.
100%, 100%. Michelle, this has been so much fun. Last question for you. If someone wanted to be seen as a credible voice in their industry within the next 12 months, where should they start and how can they achieve it?
Oh, interesting. It's a bigger question than just a simple question because it depends on the person and who they are. What I would say, most important thing, we'll go back to the word clarity. Define as narrowly as possible the playground you play in, which is really the clarity associated with what I call the CPOP, your customer point of possibilities. Once you know that, you have a compass, and that compass will help you understand, well, should I go to this event or that event? Should my webpage be focused on this audience or that audience? Should I be part of this association or not? Should I teach in this college or university? Should I teach this topic or this other topic? The more focused you could be on the clarity associated with your with the audience, the easier it is to reach the audience. The easier it is to reach your audience in a way that they actually see you for who you are as something that they actually need. So the question, when you say you want to be a thought leader in a space, the more narrowly you could define the space, the easier it is to reach the people who live in that space.
Yeah.
And it's kind of that simple. And then being both having a commitment to do it and being consistent in your actions day in and day out, you'll hit there way before 12 months.
I love it, Mitchell. Thank you so much for providing that simple yet consistently deliverable implementation that they can do. And the other thing that they can also do, probably do, is go buy your book, right? Be seen, be heard as a thought leader. It's literally right behind you.
If that was a sale. I mean, I've got a lot of stuff online. My TEDx, We Are Losing Our Humanity, and I'm tired of watching it happen, really goes through the concept of credibility. I've got 65 books on the marketplace, but the 66 is the most important.
It's the most important. Yeah.
So to find me, you can go to mitchelllevy.com, and that has all information on me. It has access to my calendar if you want it, and that's that. MitchellLevy.com, MitchellLevy.com. And then if you want to get on a special list of people who will get incremental things on executive abundance, if you go to executiveabundance.com, you could sign up for the wait list. And I will definitely send stuff and do special things to that list ahead of time. And our release date, like I said, is next year, May 7th.
Perfect. Mitchell, thank you so much again. We'll be sure to include all of the links that you provided in the show notes so folks can get access to your TEDx, your books, the new book that's coming out in May 2026. Can't wait for all of that. Thank you so much again for this conversation.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Good set Absolutely. Of questions. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much again, and we'll catch you in the next one. Keep dreaming. All right, guys. If you've been listening and realized that credibility isn't just about how the world sees you, it's about how clearly you show up, then take something Mitchell shared today and implement it this week. Because credibility compounds. And the sooner you start, the sooner people begin seeing you as the leader you already are. So again, thank you so much for listening. Keep showing up, keep creating, and keep turning your passions into your purpose. I'll see you in the next episode.
Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hacksandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hacksandhobbies.com website.